is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones. The original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, Hancock! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no. Loose, Hancock, front court, Mason. Long base hit point, George Mason.
The third episode of Vacationer, and I am psyched. Jones, what's up?
I don't know. I'm feeling good as new.
I'm feeling good as new.
And I'm pretty excited to get into the third episode here. Summertime, vacationer. You know, we've had two past episodes.
They were fun.
Kind of well received. Over 100 views on both. And I hope you guys are enjoying this little summer series. Today, we are going to have our Mason Minute. Talk about, just catching up. We've broken down a lot of the Mason stuff in the first couple episodes, but we got to get to a couple more things. Then we're off to I Pummeled, talking about things that we've recently pummeled. And then we'll close it out with our own, we're going to pick our own TBT tournament out of previous players from our era.
So we're going to field our own rosters, essentially what you're saying. So
Yeah,
just for fun. Yeah, I mean, I kind of like it.
We're into summer now. It's June. I think, you know, play kicks off in your hometown, in your town, well, I think late July.
Well, newsflash, and, you know, the actual tournament bracket is to be released today, Tuesday. So hopefully everyone now knows where and who we're going to be playing and when.
We will be playing some games in Richmond, so there's an opportunity for us to, you know, get down and see some alumnus play. Mason Minute.
Go Mason Minute.
Jones, are you officially reaching Panic Jones? Are you officially...
I am panicked.
Are you officially reaching Panic Zone for our last scholarship spot?
I'm in the Panic Zone. I'm in the Panic Mode. I'm in the Panic... Anything you want to classify it as, I'm panicking slightly. Yes. To be honest, am I, like, truly panicked? No. I do like to play it up a little bit, but... is this in regard to the roster spot that still needs to be filled, or the fact that our president just left along with like a whole host of other, Mason employees essentially in the athletic department? So,
no, I'm specifically talking about the scholarship spot because it's interesting. Two seasons ago, we went in, to the season and with one open scholarship spot, we just didn't give it to anybody. But at the time, you know, our roster was sort of locked down. We knew who was going to play. This year, is it the same? Like, does it really not matter because we kind of know our rotation, or could we use another piece?
I think you could always use another piece. And when you have this extra roster spot, I do think, seeing that it's this late in the recruiting cycle, you know, if you were to get a 2019 kid at this point, you know, you're probably not going to get the best talent in the world, but you could get some kids that decided, well, I'm not going to go the JUCO route. Maybe I'll reopen my, my recruiting. But I think it's worth a shot. I think what you are ideally looking for is a really high upside type recruit, someone that necessarily might not be the best fit, but has some upside to their play. Maybe they're incredibly athletic, but they're raw, something like that. So, you know, as long as you're, you know, not using it on a very safe play, something that we already have and we're just adding depth, I'm sure that makes sense logically, you know, from a coaching standpoint. But for me personally, I just want to see a kid that could be the next big thing, used with that final roster spot.
And that, so, you know, there's a kids now, like you're saying, decommitting from JUCOs. Is there anybody you have in mind?
I mean, there's a kid that we recently just offered. So it's Luke, because it has the double dots over the O's. I think he's like Swedish or something. or where is he from? Florida? Like, I don't know much about the kid. He's 6'9". He's rangy. He's athletic. He can fly. He's starting to get a bunch of offers. But yes, we just offered a kid like that.
And he's getting offers from Texas A&M, Virginia Tech, Nevada.
Yeah. So he is clearly wanted. For some reason, like, everybody's giving him an offer, like, today. Everybody, a lot of Power 5 conferences are offering him as of right now. So are we likely to get this kid? No, but it's the type of flyer that I think we should take this late in the recruiting cycle.
And one thing I think we've already kind of missed on, just because the timing has kind of moved on from that is transfers and grad transfers. You know, kind of that was about a month ago when we watched a bunch of grad transfers come out of the transfer portal. And I don't know if we just kind of, you know, have a bad taste in our mouth with Jared Reuter. but, you know, I just wonder why we didn't, you know, I think a grad transfer, someone with some experience would have been perfect for this team. Yeah, Kyer and Boyd will be four-year contributors, but it's not a big senior class, which will be like the third or fourth year in a row where we're not graduating a ton of players from our team.
So yeah, the kid's actual name that we offered is Luke Wuer, who sounds kind of like a piece of IKEA furniture, but that's not really a knock on his play. I mean, I would do anything for this kid. 6'9", and a ton of articles. This 6'9 player is an intriguing four-year prospect, especially this late in the recruiting cycle. So a lot of teams that are desperate to fill like that final spot are going after him hard. So we'll see. I mean, we'll keep you updated here at the Mason Minute.
And, you know, I really don't care. Like, it's, I think we got
it
our,
does.
But,
I mean,
besides not having a big man, which I don't think that we're going to like go out and get a big man that's going to contribute in 2019.
But that's the very kid that we're kind of looking for
right now. I get it, but I just, you know, I hope it works out, but I just kind of see it as we have our rotation down. Calix is going to get a lot of minutes. We're going to see a rotation of Mar and AJ on the court at the same time, and the guard plays.
You kind of sounded defeated though. Like, you don't sound like. What do you project us to finish in the A-10 as of right now?
About
roster?
Sixth or seventh. No real competition to finish in the top four.
Let's add a kid that maybe could set you apart. Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to help us finish top three or anything, but you know, if he could add some. You know, a few plays here and there have the potential upside for future seasons. You know, maybe that's for the better.
I'm defeated because we've had this open scholarship spot for months now.
A ton of swings and misses, yeah.
And we're still sitting here, and we've had examples in the past of DP not filling that last spot. So just kind of prepping for the worst here. But with changes comes some fun stuff too, and, you know, a new season. Two years in a row, we've had the same jersey two seasons in a row, and typically we have a new jersey after the third season. Are you done with the checkered side bit? Did you like it? Or are you ready to move on?
Yeah, no, when I first saw it, and it still feels new to me for some reason, even though it's 2 years old, but yeah, when I first saw it, I was like, yeah, that's unique. I'm down for really anything that sets us apart from a traditional uniform. If we're going to commit to like looking traditional, nice and clean, then do it. But if not, I didn't want anything that kind of hovered in between, so I thought that the first Adidas rendition of the Mason jersey was a little too safe for me, but also looking like it wanted to be cool. But I thought that the checkered pattern on the side was unique, but you know, for the next rendition, either go even wackier or just go back to like a clean cut, you know, Mason. Or hell, I mean, I still kind of like George Mason written on the jerseys, but that's just like a type of branding I don't think we're going to go for, you know, down the line. But yeah, or at least give us like a gold jersey or, you know, black or gray or, you know, some alternate. I don't know, but I'm pretty open. But again, just something that kind of sets us apart.
Yeah, and in the you know, Adidas at first, I think everybody was kind of like, what? Why? You know, why are we not with Nike still? But we kind of hit Adidas right at the right time. It was kind of when, you know, Kanye joined Adidas. Now you have Damian Lillard and James Harden and just kind of so many different collabs going on even outside of sports. And so it's, you know, I kind of think we hit Adidas at the right time. And I think it is time for a jersey change. I'm over the checkered. I mean, Justin Kyer, when we had him on the show two seasons ago, right when the new jerseys were announced, he basically said he didn't like them. You know, he thought they looked kind of,
yeah,
he thought they looked kind of cheap and cheesy. And I would agree. Before we move on to I Pummeled, Is it time to get the names back on the jersey?
Yeah, I mean, this is conversation 1000 that we've had about this, but you know, it's something that we continue to like look for, but likely won't get.
I just think it gives the players that, you know, a little bit, just like a little bit more shine. You know,
it feels cool. I mean, you feel a little bit, you know, more legit, professional, something like that.
But plus, for just the average fan, the new freshman coming into the building for the first or second time, they want to learn the players. Not everyone's grabbing a program. So put the names back on the jerseys. But after the break, I pummeled.
You must earn the name on the back of your jersey.
Brian here, and recently I've really been working on lowering my carbon footprint. And so, you know, one thing that I have been really interested in is solar power. And so I've helped this company, City Renewables, start their social media, and I've been helping them with their marketing. So check them out at City Renewables on all platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can go to cityrenewables.com to get a quote on your solar panel today. Welcome back to the Vacationers. We're excited to introduce a new show segment to you called
I Pummeled.
So usually Jones and I, we don't just enjoy something. We don't just eat it once. We don't just, you
watch
know.
Watch it once. You don't consume it once. If you love it, you're going to consume it every goddamn day. Am I right?
You pummel it.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've been pummeling recently, and that's actually been forever, but a new season just dropped, is Black Mirror.
Oh.
It's on Netflix. Of course, it's only 3 episodes, but all 3 episodes I watched in one day, and that's the definition of I pummeled it.
Pummeling.
3 episodes in a row, each one over an hour, ran about 4 hours, and each one just kind of got better and better. You know, some people, they choose to kind of wait it out, save an episode, enjoy it, prolong it. I want to get through with it right away so nothing gets spoiled for me and I can be the one that said I watched it first.
Okay, that's fair enough. I actually did watch the first episode of Black Mirror last night with the little video game bit. Very interesting.
Did it make you feel like you're a homosexual?
No, but it wasn't like an interesting storyline, though, because it's like, are you gay? Are you not gay? Do you have some sort of deeper connection with your friend? You know, even though it's like through these sort of avatar type characters. So it was a very unique question that's certainly plausible now with technology and like the ever-growing VR movement and all that. So I liked it. And yet, although I'm not pummeling the series, I will get through the next episode probably tonight. So we could talk more about that. But currently, do you want to know what I'm pummeling?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I'm pummeling.
What are you pummeling?
Currently, right now, I'm pummeling the 420 Sweetwater beer.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's a Sweetwater brand. They offer it down here in Richmond a lot. I'm sure they have it up north as well. But I got it on tap a few weeks ago in Richmond. Loved it. I don't know what they're trying to... Obviously, there's like a play on word with 420. I don't know if it's like hemp infused or something like that or sort of what's in it. But it definitely has a great taste. Every time I'm out, I get a draft. I'm getting the 420. Anytime I go to the grocery store, I'm picking up a sixer of the 420. I just got a 420 like strain is what it's called, the six pack at Kroger. So that's currently what I'm pummeling. They taste great. It's not overly IPA-y, so I like it.
That's my question is, like, you know, how do you find your, like, can you pummel these kind of thicker, heavier beers?
Am I pummeling them in one sitting? No, but is it, like, something that I'm consuming, like, you know, daily? Sure.
So you're not pummeling six in one sitting?
Probably not, but okay. I'll probably pummel two. But yeah, I'm pummeling kind of that.
Slightly soft.
Sure. Okay. Well, then I'm pummeling Mentos daily. I'm pummeling plenty of things, but I just kind of
save it.
But I like the 420 beer, though. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
So it started in Atlanta, Georgia.
Someone just wikied it.
Sweetwater Beers. You know, I had one while I was at your house this weekend, and I was a big fan. They do sell them all over the East Coast. I just looked up. And I would say that that's a good thing. I mean, we are both obviously pummeling alcohol on a daily basis. If you haven't listened to By George before, it's time for you to get hip.
This is Chris from By George. Have you been thinking about your carbon footprint lately? Yeah, me too. Except I'm actually trying to grow mine. In this day and age, everyone's trying to shrink their carbon footprint, but rather I'm trying to grow it. Think about it, guys. By this time next year, your carbon footprint might be the size of a toddler's. Here's one company I would like you to encourage you to visit. It's ExxonMobil. Don't forget about that 1989 Exxon Valdez oil spill in Alaska, which is widely considered to be one of the world's largest oil spills in terms of damage to the environment. Use Exxon every day, fill up with gas, fill it in your gas guzzler, and drive around town, and try to make that carbon footprint as big as possible. Again, that's ExxonMobil. Fill her up and let her go.
This message was brought to you by Chris Jones. Welcome back to By George Vacationer 3. Quite the difference in our two ads there. But
love me some Exxon, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, loyal.
I wasted some gas coming to visit you, driving down to Richmond, and I wanted to touch on...
perspective to look at it, wasting gas to see me. But
I wanted to touch on, you know, we wanted to go to Richmond to try a local course of yours. We played some golf, and we went by Magnolia Farms.
It's called Magnolia Green.
We went by Magnolia Green, and you know, I just wanted to touch on a little bit because it was a beautiful course. By far, I think the hardest course I've ever played. It was super long.
Super long.
It rained the whole time, but we did not let that bother us.
Rain or shine.
And it was just, you know, it was the course was open. It was, the rain actually helped because, you know, it kept people off the golf course. So we actually, I think we played around in like 6 hours.
Right.
Which was insane. But I wanted to get your thoughts. We hadn't really talked about it. I wanted to get your thoughts on Magnolia Green.
All right. Magnolia Green was great. It was like super long though. So you like had to really trust your driver. But it was very forgiving in the sense that if you miss left or right, you're probably going to be in okay shape. But, it was a fun golf course. It was like, you know, don't tell Magnolia Green, but it's like you can really just kind of pull over whenever you wanted and, like, take a piss. You don't really have to worry about anybody, like, looking at you.
It was heavily wooded.
Hey-o.
But one thing I found really, really crazy was just, like, the hills of the greens. I mean, it was like you could barely even see the pin sometimes.
The flag pit placement was pretty tricky, to say the least. You know, if you had to, you know, if you happened to get it on the green within, you know, two or three shots, you were bound to hit at least a 2-3 putt to sink it. So we were practically just parring or bogeying or double bogeying all goddamn day. But yeah, there was no room for a birdie. Just too difficult. But
no, it was fun. I had a great time. And that kind of brings me to, you know, just it's obviously a golf week with the U.S. Open. And Ooh. Something that Chris, I, and a couple guys do is we do a little snake draft, break down the rules and how we play.
So it's really something super easy that like 3 to 4 guys, depending on how many people like you really want to get into like a little pool for one of these golf tournaments. So let's just say you have 4 friends. What you do is you essentially draw to see who goes first, and you run like a standard snake draft like you would in fantasy football. So you guys would determine however many golfers you want to pick. So let's just say the 4 of you want 5 players. So ultimately 20 golfers will be chosen. The first player starts with his pick. Let's just say as of right now, the hottest player in golf would be Brooks Koepka. So
who was your pick for the PGA Tour, and you won it?
Many, and then you just kind of move down the line for the highest and best golfers. Snakes back to you. So you know there really isn't a bad pick because even the 4th pick gets to loop around to get the first pick for the second round, and etc. So it's pretty fun. And then essentially, if one of your golfers, the 5 that you select, wins the said tournament, you win money. If the field somehow wins and a player that wasn't selected wins the tournament, nobody gets the money. It's kind of fun. So
even one ripple I'd like to add.
If you're out of it, you could root for nobodies to essentially win the you know golf tournament.
It would be fun if the field won, if we carried over the money bet. That's something to maybe think about for the next time.
Who's sitting here with the logs of money carrying over from tournament to tournament? I mean, are you going to be sitting there bringing up the balance sheet?
Well, I figured since you put this together, it could be something that you did, but...
I'm not, so...
Moving right along to the TBTT, we have a team entered this year, and we have talked about it on every episode. In fact, the news broke on our station. And so now we wanted to play a little game, name your starting lineup, your green machine starting lineup. Chris, I think you're prepared. I got to give it a couple of seconds of thought. Kick it off.
So just to preface this, I mean, when you're building a TBT team, tongue twister, you really are going to look for players that are still young enough to have, you know, their game still relatively... What am I trying to say here? You want young guys that can still play the goddamn game, essentially. So what I'm picking personally for my starting 5, I'm going with a mix of just... youth and a little bit of experience. So I'm going to start out with point guard with Brian Allen, arguably one of the more talented players we've ever had at Mason, strictly from athletic standpoint. I mean, the kid could do it all. For guard, I'm going to put Cam Long in there. Not bad having 2 guys that could handle the ball. Cam Long also has some decent height. So at 6'4", he's going to provide some, you know, ball handling abilities, ability to maybe get a few rebounds, throw a few assists. So BA and Cam Long working together, I like that at guard. And then going with Pearson we'll play Pearson at the 3 because he kind of developed a 3-point game towards the end of his career at Mason. I think he can kind of play the 3. We're going to throw in Will Thomas as well. Will Thomas can kind of play like a little bit of a 3-4 as well. So he definitely has that sort of back against the basket type of game, but he also developed a 3-point shot, so you can kind of line him up anywhere. And then I think finally I want Siobhan.
Get it right.
Jesus Christ. As the 5, just because I want a prototypical standard center. So BA, Cam Long, Pearson, Thomas, Siobhan. And that just feels like a really solid 5. Young, athletic, size, beat that.
I would say, you know, I actually don't even know the rules. Like, can Siobhan and Marquise Moore even compete in this?
I assume they can. This is fake.
So we're not going off of the actual roster. We're kind of going off of players from our era that we would like to see.
Well, it has to be our era. You're not going to draft George Evans, who's 40-something years old right now.
Well, maybe he can shoot.
Yeah.
So maybe. I would go with Cam Long as my point guard. I think we're not going to see a lot of full court D, a lot of over aggressive play and traps. So I'm going Cam Long and Marquise Moore at my 2 guard spots. I think Moore just gives you everything. Mm-hmm. He right now, in my opinion, is the best player to come through Mason since George Evans. And I think you got to go with him, give him the chance to play off the ball, crash the glass. Ryan Pearson at shooting at small forward is an absolute joke. I don't know why you would think that that would work out. It has to be.
Is it really an absolute joke?
I mean, Ryan Pearson, can he guard the three? Can he even, can he play offense at the three? You know,
you maneuver Thomas and Pearson around. I mean, it's sort of interchangeable.
Okay. I like that.
You don't have to necessarily trash him at the three, but go on.
I would personally trash him at the three. I'm struggling right now.
But then who do you want at the three?
I'm struggling right now to find a three. You know, because
so I have Pearson, you have nobody. So
I feel like a BA, a Cam Long could all play the three position.
Well, you currently have them rostered at 1 and 2.
So I have Moore and Cam Long. I think I fit in Brian Allen. So I think I run with three guards. Brian Allen, Cam Long, Marquise Moore. You have all sorts of scoring there. Every one of them can bring up the ball. Power forward, I have to go with Jenkins. You need some youth. He's currently playing overseas. Jenkins and Ryan Pearson, I think, are pretty interchangeable. And then I think I got to go with my man, Mike Moe, at center, bringing the house down.
Okay. So you opt for a little bit more guard play. I opt for a little bit more size. So,
fine. Well, the TBT is a guard-heavy league, Jones. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man.
So I'm getting excited for the TBT tournament. Like I said, we'll have eyes there. It's in Jonesy's backyard.
Until we see that bracket unveiled, and we're like in Asheville.
Yeah, but we'll be watching it. We'll be watching on TV. Hopefully, it's on like ESPN Plus or something. Which, by the way, I just canceled mine. Are you still paying even after Mason?
I canceled the last game of the Mason season.
So you're not enjoying it for, like, baseball extras or...
I mean, I would, but the baseball extra is not worth, what, $6 a month, whatever it is.
So you canceled, I canceled. They clearly didn't do enough to lure us in.
Well, I mean, I'll come back, but not in the off season.
Will you actually come back?
Yeah. How else am I going to watch Mason games?
I don't know. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Everybody, this was the third episode of Vacationers. Hope you enjoyed it. Coming to you every single Tuesday.
Last Tuesday and,
If we miss a Tuesday, it's because we're dropping Hey 10 or the Ryan and Dom cast or we got a feature from Facts Only. You know, something else is dropping on Tuesday.
Still waiting for that one.
But if not, Vacationer will be brought to you every single Tuesday. Thanks for listening. Jonesy, any parting words?
No.
That's that, guys. Take care. Have a good week. Bye-bye.